Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Would you just say, Holy Spirit, would you open my heart to receive your word today? Just make that your prayer right now. Holy Spirit, would you open my heart this morning? Maybe just put your hand over your heart and just say, Holy Spirit, come and change my heart. Change the atmosphere of my heart today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Singing that song, I was reminded of what someone once said, that the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 minutes than a lifetime of counseling. And not to say that I believe in holistic health and care and all that kind of stuff, but you know, there's some things that only the Holy Spirit can do. And so even Christian counselors will often say they listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when they are counseling with people and ministering to people. And so we just need, friends, we just need to be really open and welcome the work that he can do. And I pray that today will be another one of those mornings where we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to take a little bit of a change of direction today, somewhat. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. If you want to find it in your Bible app or wherever you can find it, that would be great. Revelation chapter 2. If you're just joining us this morning, maybe for the first Sunday or whatever, we've been going through the book of Acts. We are in a current study of the book of Acts, going through different sections and different passages of Scripture. And today, we're still in the Book of Acts series, but we're taking a little bit of a side trip. The last couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, we've been looking at a church in the New Testament by the name of, it was a church at Ephesus. It was a city called Ephesus. And Paul had helped plant this church in Ephesus. He had spent like 3 years teaching and ministering to the people of Ephesus. And then the last couple Sundays, we looked at how that as he was nearing, he was on his last missionary journey, he brought all of the elders and all of the leaders from that church together to give them some final words of instructions. He knew that likely it was going to be the last time he would see them. And so he wanted them to be prepared for the future. And so last week, we looked at some of the things that some of the instructions he said. One of the things that he said to the elders of the church was to guard the flock, to be shepherds of the flock, and to pay attention to the flock. He said, watch over yourselves and all of the flock. And this was the responsibility that God gave to the leadership of the church. It was really important that they take this job seriously. Now, it's interesting. How many of you ever had one of those situations where you knew someone like a long, long time ago, and then you're thinking, you know, like maybe 30, 40 years have gone by, and you're wondering, I wonder what they're doing now. Do any of you have old high school friends or people that you're just kind of wondering whatever happened to them? Well, this is kind of a little bit of the picture that we have here this morning, because here in Revelation chapter 2, we have this same church only 30 years later. And last week we talked about how that Paul had spent a lot of time with this church. He had preached the word of God to them. He said He said, I didn't hold back on anything. I gave it all to you. I preached the whole will of God to you. Paul had left a great example for this church to follow. He warned the church, keep watch. Look, watch over yourself and also the flock. And so here in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is actually has some words for a number of churches, and we're just going to look at the one today, where Jesus gives us a little bit of a picture of what was actually happening in that church approximately 30 years later. And it's some cool stuff and some things that we can learn from even ourselves today. And what I love about this passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 2 is that Jesus begins with some compliments. But before we get to that, we're going to read this passage starting at verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. There's an outline in your bulletin if you want to pull it out, and you can make some notes. The Scripture's there. It'll be on the screen as well. Are we ready to go up there, Tanner? Awesome. So chapter 2, verse 1. Begins with, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds. Now, this is Jesus actually speaking with a message to the church. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet, in verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And then he says in verse 7, whoever has ears, how many have ears here today? Whoever has ears, let him hear. I think we're not going to spend a lot of time on that verse, but I think it's real important. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let him hear what the Spirit says to you as a person living in the year 2017. Let the church, let Comox Pentecostal Church hear what the Spirit might have to say to us today. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I love the way Jesus begins this section when he actually starts with some compliments. How many like compliments? We all like compliments? Absolutely. And here he begins, and it's going to be simple here today, but we see how that Jesus, as he's bringing this message or having this message, this letter delivered to the church of Ephesus, he compliments them about a few things. And first of all, he says, he compliments them for their deeds. He says, I know, verse 2, I know your deeds and your hard work. This church, the Ephesians church, the Ephesus church, was a church known for a lot of good things. They were a church known for being a serving church. They were a church that worked hard. This was a church that knew how to roll up its sleeves and get things done. I want to say that everything I'm saying here right now is not bad. Jesus is not saying this to say, well, you shouldn't be doing those things. Jesus is actually commending them. This was not a church of consumers. This was a church of contributors. This was a church of people who said, count me in. If there's things that need to get done, count me in. I will be your people. I will be one who you can count on to serve. This was a church that took seriously the work and the mission of the church. You see, Paul had Paul had spent 3 years teaching this church about the mission of Christ and what they were called to be doing. And this was a church that really paid attention to the details of running the church. And Jesus took notice of all of their works. And basically what he's saying here, good job. You've done well. There's nothing lazy about you. The last thing that God needs is a lazy church. The church needs people who are willing and who are committed to work hard. The church needs people who are willing to serve and to get involved and be part of the work of the ministry. And so it's so important. And so Jesus is saying to this church of Ephesus, you have done well. I know your deeds. They haven't gone unnoticed. You have worked very, very hard. And then he says, and I've noticed also your patience and your perseverance. How many know it takes a lot of patience sometimes to be part of a church community? Amen? It's just part of reality. And 30 years later, this was a church that had demonstrated perseverance, had demonstrated stability. He says, you have not become weary. A lot of people, you know, ministry can often be weary. And sometimes people in church life, they get tired. They get, oh man, got to do this again. And sometimes the work of the ministry can be laborsome. But this was a church 30 years later who had been committed to the long haul. They had faced hardships. We don't know all the things were going on, but at the time when Paul was certainly leading the church, they were facing opposition. They were facing persecution. They were facing people and the community rising up against them. This was not an easy time for the church to actually survive. And yet they had persevered. They had remained faithful and committed to the ministry that God had called them to. They had faced the hardships. And they had done it with patience and with perseverance. And Jesus was saying, I've noticed that. It's a good thing what you have done. And he was actually proud of them. And then he says, we see how that Jesus compliments them for their discernment and being watchful as Paul had instructed them. He says, You've guarded the church. He says, you didn't tolerate wicked people. You've tested those who claim to be apostles, but were not. You see, one of the things that we talked about last Sunday, one of the warnings that Paul gave to the church, he said, when I leave you, this is why he said you need to guard the flock. You need to guard the sheep. He said, because when I leave, he said, wolves will come in among you. And Paul was very concerned about that. Paul knew that there were going to be those who were going to come in and attack the sheep. And in a sense, this is what is being referenced here. You've tested those who claim to be something but were not apostles, teachers. Jesus himself warned against false prophets and false teachers and so on. And Paul, or Jesus here in Revelation 2, is saying, good job. You have guarded the church well. You have protected the church. You've protected the church from wolves. You've actually done what I've asked you to do. You've paid attention to those important things. And Jesus basically here in these first few verses is saying, well done. You've done well. I mean, I think it's good to get compliments from Jesus. Amen? You've done well. And yet there's that little word, but. Yet, verse 4. Maybe we go back to that slide there, 10, or slide number 5, I think it is. He says, yet, I hold this against you. You've forsaken your first love. You've forsaken your first love. Basically what Jesus is saying here to the church, he's saying, you've done a lot of things well. You've done a lot of things right. You've taken your faith seriously. You've excelled in doing good. You need to be commended for all of these things. body's saying, you are lacking in this important area. Something's happened over this time period. They've become very, very good at leading the church, running the church, doing what the church should be doing. But he says, you've forsaken something really, really important. He says, you've gotten away from your first love. I don't want to distract you a whole lot here right now, but I can't help but ask the question. How many of you remember that first childhood sweetheart or that first person that maybe your spouse, hopefully, that you fell in love with? And you remember first love. How many can remember first love? Jesus is not saying that you don't love me. He's saying that you've kind of gotten away from first love. I know we've mentioned this a few times, but Pastor Johnny often tells the story. Johnny could tell, he could come up right now and talk about first love because he tells the story so eloquently about his first encounters with Chelsea, his wife, and it just gets a little bit slurpy when he starts talking about it. So I'm just going to let him sit there. But I think we can remember, you can relate to those times of first love. Those times of romance, of where, you know, I'll never forget the very first time I reached out and I grabbed my wife, who was just my girlfriend at the time. We were 17-year-old high school sweethearts in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. And I'll never forget, it took me a long time to have the courage to reach out and take her by the hand, but I'll never forget when I reached out and took her by the hand, it was like an electric shock went through my body. And the shivers and the like the chills and like this, it felt so good. and I thought she was, and I still think she is, but so beautiful and so amazing. And I'll never forget just those moments in time when we began to experience first love. And in many ways here, Jesus is trying to make the picture here, the picture of a marriage, the picture of romance. And unfortunately, you get the sense that something has shifted, something has happened in these 30 years, this time, give or take. Something has happened where it's as though these people, wonderful people, a wonderful church, a complimented church, had moved away from something that was very, very special. And it was their first love. You get the sense that romance had been replaced with routine. That somehow, you know what that's like? Sometimes we can just get into the routine of things. And it can happen in a marriage where romance can be replaced with routines. Where you're simply going through the day-to-day motions of life and family and marriage and relationship. But somehow, romance can be lost along the way. Their romance had become cool. Their romance with Christ had gone somehow missing. And so as I was praying about this week, the question that came into my heart was, how does this happen? How is it possible? And it's a question it would be a great conversation in your small group if you wanted to have this. How is it possible to be so in love with someone and yet find yourself forsaking that first love? What happens? How does this happen? How do marriages become cool and sometimes cold? Well, we're going to look at just three possibilities here this morning. Number one, how do we forsake our first love? Well, the first thought here is what we call drifting. And I've preached on this subject before. Living here in the Comox Valley, and if you've ever had the opportunity to be out in the ocean, you know that the currents can move you around without you even knowing it. You think you can be sitting in one spot out there on the water, And the next thing you know, a few minutes later, you realize that you have drifted. There's currents that you don't always see that are influencing where you go. We start drifting with the tide. And when it comes to our walk with Jesus, when it comes to our romance with God, drifting is one of those things that can be so gradual. You don't even notice that you've drifted from here to there. You don't even notice that you've drifted from that romance relationship with Jesus, where all of a sudden things start to become just routine. It's easy to slip. I had a great conversation the other day with John Harrison. He came into the office and we were talking, and one of the things I actually asked John if he wanted to preach this Sunday, because he had some great words, some great thoughts. And one of the things that John brought out to me as we were standing there talking about this, he said apathy is one of those things that often can cause us to begin to lose first love. And I thought he was so right on when he said that. I actually looked up the word apathy, and it actually means loss of interest. You know, if you ever stop being interested in your spouse, that's a sign that things you're losing first love. If you ever stop losing interest in that person that you love deeply, or your children, or whoever it might be, it's one of the signs of we're beginning to move away from first love. And so apathy, we can become apathetic when it comes to our relationship with God. We can become apathetic. We can lose interest. Another description of the word apathy was the loss of enthusiasm. We're just not as excited anymore about Jesus. We're just not quite as excited as we once were about the people of God, the church of God, our relationship with God. And so drifting can be one of those things that can cause us, and you know what, some of this you can apply in your own personal life with your spouse, but it also in many ways applies to the church, because that's what we're talking about today. So we need to guard against drifting. Another thing that we need that can contribute to the getting away from our first love is, and Pastor Joel talked about this last Sunday morning, was distractions. Distractions. We live in a world, let's face it, where there are many things that demand, that call for our attention. How many know what I'm saying? Like, we're probably living in a time in history right now where there are more distractions around us than at any other time in history. You know, it's funny, even now when we're trying to communicate with people, it used to be you have maybe one primary way that you try to get a hold of people. It's like you pick up the phone and call or something like that. But now it's like 6 or 8 different ways that people communicate with each other. And it's interesting how distracted we become by many things. Joel preached about this last Sunday night. Sunday nights they've been focusing on the dreams that God puts in our hearts. And how we need to dream God-sized dreams. And how we need to have a God-sized heart for the things that he's called us to do. And one of the things that Joel said, one of his phrases last Sunday, and you might want to even write this down this morning. He said, distractions become the destroyer of our dreams. That's a good word. Distractions also become the destroyer of our first love. Of our relationship with God. And instead of Christ being our first attraction, we become distracted. Instead of being attracted to Christ, we become distracted from Christ. How many know what I'm saying? How easy it can happen. We're not going to read this passage this morning, but you might want to write it down in your notes. Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 to 42. Jesus was at the home. It's a famous story in the Bible. It's the story of Jesus going into the home of Mary and Martha. And I always feel sometimes that both get misrepresented, but there is a point here that connects to what we're saying right now, where Jesus had gone into their home, Mary and two sisters, Mary and Martha. And it was near meal time. How many know sometimes it's, you know, people, yeah, you know what it's like when someone shows up at your house around meal time? Like, it's like, okay, what am I going to do? I mean, like, I've only got so much soup. And, you know, like, some of you just go into a bit of a panic mode. And we see two things here going on. And with Mary, I mean, they were obviously surprised and happy to see Jesus. They were so glad that Jesus had come to visit them in their home. But it says that Mary, the one sister, sat at Jesus' feet. She sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he had to say. But then, and I'm keeping this short, it says, but Martha, the other sister, was distracted by much serving. You know what? Basically, what Martha was up to, she wanted Jesus to be able to have a nice meal. And she wanted everything to be right. She wanted the table to be set. She wanted the food preparations to be done well. She wanted all this type of thing, all of this to be prepared well. Meanwhile, the whole time, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. She's, in Martha's mind, the lazy sister, not willing to help. You know what I mean? And yet, when Martha came and complained to Jesus, like, how can you let my sister just sit here to do nothing while I'm going about serving? Martha was really distracted. Jesus said, basically, Martha, it's okay. Jesus, or Mary, has chosen what's well. And there's a simple point here, and that is, all of this other stuff has to get done. And I can totally relate to this. And I think most of us here this morning probably fall on the side of either being bent towards being a Mary or being a Martha. But the reality is it takes both to get done. But also the reality is that we need to always have time where we pay attention and not be so distracted by so many things. You see, Jesus wasn't asking that everything be perfect. Jesus was calling for their presence. But I think the point is well taken this morning, and that is drifting and distractions can often take us away from first love. And we need to be on, if anything, we need to be guarded against that as well. One more thing here before we move on, and that is that not only do we experience drifting and distractions, but oftentimes what can happen when it comes to first love being lost is when our devotion changes. When our devotion changes. When we become, instead of being devoted to Christ, we become devoted to other things. When we, instead of being devoted to God, we become devoted to other gods. And let's face it again, there are many gods that are demanding our attention in our world today. Other affections, other objects of worship, other things that consume our time. We become devoted to all of these things. And before long, we find ourselves moving away from first love. Even Paul warned Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6, he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul is not saying that money is wrong, but it can become a god. And sometimes people in their pursuit of wealth and their pursuit of to be prosperous can actually find themselves wandering from their relationship with God. And so Paul warned Timothy, be careful against it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, you might want to write it down. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. 1 John 5 says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that comes between us and our relationship with God can become an idol. an object of our worship. And so, drifting, distractions, change in devotion, some of these things might have touched you. I know it touches me in many ways. But I want to end this morning with this question. How do we rekindle that sacred romance? How do we rekindle first love? How do we stir up first love again in our lives? Well, Jesus gives a very simple prescription. He doesn't make it complicated. In verse 5, the first thing he says, number one, he says, remember. Look what it says here in verse 5. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen. I was looking at that verse, and again, it'd be a great question to discuss with some of your friends, maybe over coffee or in a small group. Basically saying, what were things like back when your love for me was hot, red hot, when the fire in your belly for God, for Jesus, for the church burned? What was it like? What was happening? What was going on? He's saying, remember when we had that red hot, fired up relationship? Great question to ask. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to think back to when you first gave your heart to Jesus. When you first surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and came into a relationship with Him and gave your life and your soul and your heart and your future and everything about you over to Him. What was that like? Some of you maybe look back to an experience at camp, or maybe it was a retreat that you were at, or a ladies' retreat, or a men's retreat, or wherever it might have been. It might have been it might have been with your parents. It might have been at the altar of this church. A time when your life was so fired up for God. And he just says, one way to start getting that fired up love back is just close your eyes and remember, what was it like? Oh, yeah. I remember those goosebumps. I remember that time when I first reached out and took Bart by the hand. Just like I said, it was like shockwaves going through my body. What was it like when you first gave your heart to Christ? Maybe the day you were baptized. The day that you had that encounter with God. That day when you found yourself being set free from your sin, from your past, from your addictions, from your brokenness. That day when you began to feel the healing power of Jesus coming through your life and through your heart. Jesus is saying, start by remembering that. And I guess the next question would be, has anything changed? Is anything different? I was thinking about this. The reality is that you ask that question, what's different? Another question would be, has anyone moved? Well, I'll guarantee you right now, God has not moved away from you. God has not moved away from me, but sometimes we move away from Him. God hasn't moved. He hasn't changed. He's not different. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many are thankful for that? His love is always faithful. His love is always reaching out to us. But sometimes we move. And sometimes we drift. And sometimes we become distracted. Even when we're distracted, God's eye is on you and me. And so the simple question Jesus said to this church of Ephesus, He's saying, remember, Remember when you first discovered me? Remember when you were so excited to learn about me and to explore more of me? There's so much to explore about the things of God, the kingdom of God, the work of God, the grace of God. Remember how you could hardly wait to open up the scripture? So he says, first of all, remember. Secondly, he says, again, he keeps it simple. He says, repent. In other words, basically saying there needs to be a change of heart. There needs to be a change of direction. There needs to be a change of focus. And we find ourselves drifting one way. Repentance is about turning around and coming back, going in the direction that you need to be going. Repentance is about getting back on track. It's about God's GPS, God's repositioning system, where we need to get our position back, our relationship with God back on track. It's returning, it's repenting, it's returning, it's coming back to where we need to be. I want to say, a lot of times when we talk about repentance, one of the things that oftentimes people find themselves repenting out of fear and out of shame and out of guilt. And I love that song. We're going to sing it in closing here in just a couple of minutes again. But I love that line in that song we sang earlier. It's His love that brings us back to our knees. And I want to encourage you to allow the love of God to draw you back to that place of repentance. You know, there's so much to be gained when we can re-encounter love. And it can happen in a marriage when love is rekindled in a marriage. When it comes to seeing a first love rekindled in a marriage, it's not about like, oh, okay, I guess I got to do this. That's the last thing a marriage needs, is more duty. What a marriage needs is more romance. And the last thing a marriage needs is I'm doing this because I've got to pay attention to my wife. Or I've got to go and spend some time with her. I've got to go for a walk with her. Oh, man, there's so many other things I'd rather do. But, you know, that's not repentance. It's love. It's love that needs to rekindle that repentance. It's the love of God that rekindles our repentance. It's His love that brings us to our knees. And so He says, remember, repent. What is it that maybe you have been distracted by? Maybe it's time to put that away. Maybe it's time to eliminate that distraction that's keeping you from having that red-hot love for Christ. The Holy Spirit can reveal that to you this morning. And thirdly, He says, and do the things you did at first. Do the things. So the word is redo. Start doing again the things that you did at first. One of the things that my wife and I love to do, she's in the nursery today, so I can say whatever I want. But one of the things that Barb and I often find ourselves doing, and maybe if you're like us, you've done this too, but we'll often be out going for a walk, or maybe going for a ride, and we find ourselves going down memory lane a lot, and we remember those little walks we had when we were 17 years old, walking through the park in Portage la Prairie, Manitoba. We remember those evening drives where we got into trouble some nights for coming home a little bit too late. We remember what it felt like, as I mentioned earlier, reaching out and holding each other by the hand. I remember distinctly the first kiss And I remember it was 7 months later, the first time I actually told her I loved her, because I had made a commitment to God that I would never tell a girl that I loved her unless I knew that she would be the one that I would eventually marry. It wasn't something that I just wanted to throw that word out. And we find ourselves, even to this day, remembering special moments, special places, things that have a way of stirring up romance and rekindling first love again. One of the things, as I was thinking about it for us, was some things that we did at first. And I think it's relevant to this message. We spent a lot of time together. How many know what I'm talking about? I used to pick her up for school in the morning. And I would take her home at lunchtime. And then same thing would happen after school. And then we would talk for an hour or so after school. And then I would go home and I would pick up the phone in my party line. We had a party line back in those days. If you don't know what that is, ask me later. And it wasn't where everyone was having a party either. It was a phone where people could listen in to each other's conversations, the neighbors and all that kind of stuff. It predates you, Don, Johnny. But anyway, and we would sit there and we'd drive the party line people crazy because we'd be on the phone for 2 hours and people, like, we just, like, we sometimes we, even to this day, we think back, what did we talk about? Probably absolutely nothing. But the reality is we were spending time together. And during that time, what did we do at first? We focused on a growing friendship. We became best of friends. You know what? And that's what God desires of us. He desires our friendship. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor of a fairly large church now, not so much then, but he said to me one day, we were talking about what is your primary responsibility as a pastor, as a senior pastor in a large church? What is your primary responsibility? And his words were simple, to be a son. Because, you know, sometimes we think of all these things that we need to do. But my first responsibility, even before being a pastor and leading a congregation like this, is to be a son. Is to be a friend of God. And I know that oftentimes I don't always do that well, and I need to come back to that. And I need to pay attention to that. I need to pay attention to my friendship with God. And first love is about spending time together, spending time in God's presence, in prayer and worship. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We love your presence. We need to grow in friendship. We need to get back to some of those things in your own life. What is it that you need to redo? What is it that you need to reconnect to? Where do you need to put some refocus? Healthy relationships. I don't need to tell you this, but healthy relationships, a healthy marriage requires time and attention. And so time together, growing friendship, keeping the fires of love and romance with Christ stoked, fired up, feeding it. In my notes, I just got a big circle, and that is repeat all above. How do we keep doing that? Just keep repeating this. Keep remembering. It's not remember now and then 5 years, I need to remember again. It's just keep remembering. Keep repenting of distractions. Keep doing the things that you did at first. And then he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And Aaron, if you could going to lead in that song again, To My Knees. And I was really drawn to the words where it says, I actually made a copy here for myself, in the Savior's love, I find joy beyond compare. Isn't it great to find joy in our Savior's love? Amen. Endless peace covers all of me. When you breathe within, you turn winter into spring. Grace dissolves every fear in me. Brings us to repentance. Your love invites us to remember. Your love is all that my heart desires. I love verse 2. It says, in my vacant heart, Lord, you came and made a home. Some of you remember the day when Jesus came into your heart and took up residency. And what a beautiful, wonderful day that was. How many look back and say, thank you, Jesus? Let's stand together. Take a minute right now before we even begin to sing. Just close your eyes and maybe lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my vacant heart. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my broken heart. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my wounded heart. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and setting me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before we even begin to sing, I want us just to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to my life this morning? I believe the Holy Spirit for many of us is saying, Jesus is saying, you've done well. You've been a good church member. You've been you've paid attention to the mission and the purposes of the church. You've done really, really well. You've worked hard. Some of you have prevailed, have persevered, have been part of the life of the church for a long, long time. You've grown up around it. You've done really, really well. And he's not saying stop doing it. He's saying keep going, keep doing it. Keep guarding the flock, keep paying attention. But he might just be saying some of us have lost our first love. And he's saying, come remember. Remember where I've taken you. Remember where we were. And today is a day of returning. Today is a day of coming back. Today is a day of coming to my knees again. Say, Jesus, help me. Would you rekindle? Let's rekindle together the fires of first love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And ask Aaron just to begin to lead us in this song. This song is really like a prayer for us today.
Dissolves every fear.
love is inviting us this morning. I invite you just to bow your heads with me for a moment. The words of that song talks about how that at times some have lost their way. And I'm wondering this morning if there's any in this room that would say, Pastor Dave, I know what that's like. I've lost my way. I found myself distracted by many things, and I've gotten away from first love. Today, on this January morning, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit saying it's time to return, it's time to come home. And the beautiful words of that song says His love brings us to our knees. His love is compelling us. His love is inviting you right now. And if that's you saying, Pastor Dave, I found myself drifting. I found myself losing my way. And today, on this morning, I wanna come back. I wanna say yes to first love again. If that's you this morning, would you just quietly, with no one looking around, just lift your hand. I wanna pray for you. Bless you. Few of you, any others this morning would say yes. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. It's His love that brings us to repentance. It's His kindness that brings us to repentance. It's His grace. Anyone else? Just take a moment. Just slip your hand up. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've got my hand up too because there's things that I need to pay more attention to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you look into the hearts of each one of these people that have raised their hands. And Lord, I commend them for that. Ways. And I know, Holy Spirit, you are speaking to us all in many different ways. But Lord, I pray especially for anyone this morning that has lost their way, that it's your love that's repositioning them back right now. It's your love that's saying, this is the way, walk in it. And I pray that these people would just be overwhelmed with your love once again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.